Come Easy Go podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 52. January 28th, 2022. And I'd like to remind you, we're celebrating our one-year anniversary. And this past week, we gave out a mini tray of Chick-fil-A sandwiches and a podcast t-shirt. And the response went so well, we're going to do it again this coming week. So to get your name in the hat, you got to go to Wayne Bennett's podcast on Facebook and scroll down and like and share episode 52. That's the one we're doing today. And we'll put your name in a hat and have the drawing February the 4th. And hopefully maybe you'll win something, but appreciate you. Today our guest was former high school coach at Independence High School. During that time he had two state runner-ups. He had four state champion teams from 2014 to 2017. He had 18 individual champs. He was West Virginia Wrestling Coach of the Year in 2014, 2016, and 2017. I know you were also the National Federation Regional Coach of the Year, but welcome, Cliff Warden. Glad to have you.
It's good to be here. Good to be here. I appreciate the invite, Coach Bennett.
Well, let's go back a little bit. How did you get started in the sport of wrestling?
Sport of wrestling, I guess that probably started in the third grade when Kenny Chamberlain and Jim Bowman had the youth program going there at Independence High School, and my dad sort of wedged me into that and felt like I needed to be a part of that. He and Kenny Chamberlain were friends, acquaintances, and the other guys was doing it, and so I sort of jumped in, you know, not at a real early age, but fourth grade.
Now, your brother Carl had wrestled, hadn't he?
Right. My brother, he wrestled through junior high and high school. My brother didn't do any youth league wrestling, and I guess that was Dad's ideal. Let's get this guy started a little bit earlier.
So was your dad, Carl, was he an athlete?
No. Dad was sort of country boy, and he rode horses with his buddies and did some farming. And he actually, his last 2 years of high school, he worked part-time in the coal mines. So he started making a living, you know, at an early age.
But he knew where to put you, huh?
Yeah.
So you wrestled at Stoko Junior High. Who was coaching Stoko?
Right. For a year there, Jackie Gerritsen was the coach. And then Coach John McComas, who helped at the high school with the football team. But John was my junior high coach.
And I remember when you wrestled at Stoko, and I can't remember whether you was in the eighth grade or the ninth grade. I know you won the counties when you was in the ninth grade. Mm-hmm. But we had championship matches, or had the counties over at Shady High School. Again, I don't remember whether it was when you were in the eighth or ninth grade, but Al Martine at WWNR and I were buddies, and I said, why don't we broadcast the championship matches of the junior high? And he said, well, the only way we can do it is you'll just have to do it on the phone and we'll broadcast it. And WWNR was just AM at that time. It didn't reach out too far. But I sat in the coach's office at Shady High School with the door open, watching the matches, talking on the phone and broadcasting the matches. And I didn't know. I never knew how it actually came out. Never heard a recording of it or anything. But I had a couple of buddies that said they listened to it. And to this day, I mean, I'd love to have a copy of that thing. But of course, Al Martine is no longer affiliated with WWNR, and I guess it's out there in the airwaves. But you were wrestling in the finals at that particular day, and I can't remember exactly what year it was, but it was kind of interesting. If somebody had come and shut the door, I guess the broadcast would have took a season. Now, when you got in high school, that's when we still had the junior high system, so you only go to high school 3 years. And Coach Gilson was your coach, Ed Gilson.
Right. Coach Gilson was the head coach, and then he had a fellow with him, Larry Brammer, who was his assistant coach at that time and kept the books for him.
And so you had a pretty good first year. I mean, I think you ended up 36-5 and fourth place in the state, and things were looking pretty good. Plus, you guys had pretty good teams too at that time.
Right, and we was, I think, a point, maybe point and a half from second place that year. And it didn't matter to me at the moment. She wrestled Nick Metter, I want to say, for third and fourth. Nick beat me, but nonetheless, my third place match meant whether we was second or third place that year. And of course, there's other kids on the team that probably could have scored two more points, but that's something you always remember and a story you throw on. I throw on my guys now how important third is, even though at the time, you know, it's not really that important to them, you know, because they're not getting what they set out to do the first place, but you gotta come back on the backside.
Well, that's what a lot of kids don't realize, especially if they get put in the consolation bracket. Still, how important they are. They can come back and score. And a lot of times, the guys that comes back and gets third, he can score almost as much as the runner up, you know, or more in some cases.
Yeah, well, you think about it, a 30-point max, and if you win that state title, not scoring bonus points, you score 24. And I'm almost certain I've had Chris Clark score 24 points taking third place.
Wow.
Just, you know, pinning his way back through. And so, yeah.
But in your junior year, you were 39-1 at the end of the year. The only loss you had was in the state finals, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. That was the story both my junior and senior year. It was the one loss in the state finals. And I actually, that junior year, I beat Mike Shepard at WSAZ's and beat another kid that finished first or second, AAA. And it just, I don't know, that building wasn't good to me at the end of the year.
Yeah, the only two matches you lose in the last 2 years of your career is in the state finals. And that was in 93 and 94. And you were like 189 pounds, I think, your senior year. And that was... I remember watching that match, and I was just, like everybody else, kind of shocked, you know, when you lost. And I know how you felt, but again, as kids don't realize how important every match is. But now, after high school, you ended up at Edinburgh University. How did that happen? How were you recruited?
I didn't place at Senior Nationals there when it was at Pittsburgh, the NHSCA. You know, I wrestled out to the quarters and wrestled a guy pretty tough. And actually, Tim Flynn was at Edinburgh, of course, who's now our WVU coach. But Tim Flynn and Kenny Cherto were roommates at Penn State. So myself and Dirk Snuffer, Jeremy Hart, all of us guys who were going to Cherto's for camps, you know, Cherto took it upon himself, you know, to try to find us a home if we wanted to wrestle college. And it was pretty neat. I actually trained a lot with a guy, Mark Samples, there from George Washington. He ended up All-American at Edinburgh. But Mark and I went up on a visit together to Edinburgh. And Flynn's just a great guy, and the campus is just awesome. And it just, you know, it felt right.
So Flynn was the head coach then?
Flynn actually was not the head coach. Flynn did most of the groundwork. Bruce Baumgartner was our head coach for the first 2 years. Yeah.
And Baumgartner, and was Roselli there then?
Right, yeah.
Lou Roselli. Now, for those people out there who don't realize, Lou Roselli had been, I think, a two-time All-American, and he was in the Olympics. And a small guy, and he's still coaching at Oklahoma, I think.
Right.
And Baumgartner, of course, was a heavyweight that, gosh, how many times did he wrestle in the Olympics and the world?
Four different ones. He actually, two golds, a bronze, and a silver in four different games. So that's a 16-year span. That's pretty...
That's pretty good. Yeah. Against world-class competition.
Yeah, Bruce... Bruce was a big man and tough. And Roselli at Oklahoma now, of course, he bounced from Edinburgh to Ohio State. Him and Tom Ryan had a connection there. And Roselli is a big part of that Ohio Regional Training Center, what got it up and going, and why, you know, the Stevers and all those guys. I mean, he had a lot to do with you know, building that dynasty there at Ohio State. Roselli's just a great dude.
Yeah. So now Flynn was an assistant when you first got there. And Baumgartner's still there as the athletic director.
I think he resigned a year or so ago from the athletic director position. I think he still lives there. But I'm almost certain that he is no longer the AD there.
Where is Edinburgh? Where is that?
You go, like, from here, you're going to go through Morgantown, and you're going to keep going north on 79, and 15 minutes before you run into Lake Erie, you're at Edinburgh.
Wow, that's
straight shot.
8 hours?
It's only about, Morgantown's close to halfway, because I remember my brother actually was going to college at WVU, and I would meet them halfway, and we'd hit WVU football games, my parents, and it's probably closer to six.
Yeah. Well, now, how was career at Edinburgh? I mean, how did that work?
Average. I was a practice dummy, I guess, to say it most, you know. Wrestled open tournaments, probably started 5 or 6 times, you know, as needed, and but more than anything, was the guy in the room that's going to fight you tooth and nail, you know, for the next set of points. And it's some great friendships there. Coach Tony Roby down at Virginia Tech. There's a big guy, Jason Robinson, that I feel like I was pretty, you know, impactful, you know, on his career. Jim Strait, who coaches at Sharando over in Virginia, just probably more than anything, you know, developing those relationships with those great people and being able to be coached by those guys was the most value to the experience.
Were you and Mark Samples in the same grade? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I used to coach junior high, he would see us down Huntington a couple of plays. He always kind of hung around us a lot. You know, he wrestled for John Adams, I think, in junior high, and he was tough. He was still see him every once in a while. Well, after you left Edinburgh, you came back at Independence. You served as an assistant for some. Then you went down to middle school a while, I guess. How long did you coach at the middle school?
I think I was at the middle school only for a year or two. I know the administrator there, Mr. Poe, came to me and the job had been posted for a long time. He's like, hey, you need to find me a coach, be the coach, or we won't be able to have a team. And that middle school program obviously has tons of value, so I couldn't find one, so I was the coach.
You were the coach. But one particular time when you were coaching at the junior high, we put on the Beckley Newspaper Invitational together, and I think me and Ed started doing that together, and Beckley Newspapers always gave us some money to buy trophies and sponsor the thing, and it went on for, I think Shady Spring had a high school version, and we had the junior high version, and one particular year, it was a 2-day tournament. It's back when they first started the dual stuff. And we had 11 teams, and they wrestled 5 matches on Friday and 5 matches on Saturday. And, man, we had some teams in there, Milton and I think maybe Point Pleasant and some of them had come down. And, I mean, that was some of the better teams in the state. And wrestled 2 days. I mean, it was a beating. I mean, right at the beginning of the season, and we're almost done with the tournament, and you and I were co-directors, and you come up to me and said, well, I think it's about time we start getting the trophies out. You thought I'd got the trophies, and I thought you got the trophies. You remember that?
I do now.
So here we'd had a tough, rugged 2-day tournament and didn't have a trophy to pass out. But It was just, the money was good. I mean, back then, the newspaper was going to pay for them, but we had to go buy them, and we kind of thought each other got it. But we ended up, all the right kids got the trophies and stuff.
Yeah, it was a scramble to get the right trophies to the right people after that. Yeah, but, I do remember that.
But that that was, like I said, when the duels format started coming out. Kids were getting a lot more matches. But I don't know, how do you feel about the number of matches kids get during the regular season? I mean, I don't know. I'm a little bit leery about it.
Probably 50 matches is too many, you know. But then, too, out of them 50 matches, if you're at dual tournaments and you've gotten your hand raised and not wrestled, you know, obviously a forfeit, or, I mean, you've wrestled lesser opponents who you put away pretty quick. I mean, then you're sort of getting, you know, 30 reasonably quality matches if you're wrestling a bunch of those duels. But I think quality over quantity is better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I kind of liked the idea at first, you know, especially in December, getting the kids some matches, and especially some of the new kids get some experience there. But then when there for a while, you had kids coming in the state tournament, you know, 60 some matches, and I just a lot of times wrestling 20 matches in a 9-day period, and that was kind of. I wasn't sure that was the healthiest thing to do. And then I kind of liked the idea of going back and just wrestling a duel or a try every once in a while. Kind of, because especially somebody new in the sport, parent comes out there and sits all day long and, you know, and don't really know what's going on. It might be more detrimental to the sport than it is helpful.
Right. Right, for sure. If you're not a wrestling person and you jump on one of those long tournaments and you're 10 days or 10 hours in a gym, it does, you know.
Absolutely. Now your dad is, of course, he's had to travel a lot to watch you guys wrestle, and your mom was perfect about running coaches hospitality rooms back at Independence. I remember I always like to referee over there or wrestle over there because you always ate. I usually gained about 5 pounds. And actually, there for a couple of years, I started scheduling my tournaments to the areas that had the best coaches' hospitality rooms.
It does play a role.
But you took over as a head coach at Independence when Coach Gilson retired, and you started started picking up a little bit, and I know one of the years that you finished as a runner-up, you guys were just about 12, 13 points out of second, and there was a couple of kids that didn't quite do as well as you probably expected. I mean, you almost won it that year.
The Greenbrier West year, West beat us by 12, and from Huntington to Independence, I figured – and I counted them 20 different ways to score 12 more points, you know. And some of them, you know, a Wilcox doubled off and the kid sitting on his butt, you know, with a crotch lock and a clear picture in the rule book. This crotch lock does not prevent takedown. That puts Wilcox in the state finals, you know, and that's points.
Yeah.
If I would have let Jacob Shrewsbury not continue a match, that's 7 guaranteed points in the blood round we scored. The guy belly to backed him and put him right on top of his head. But my brother wrestled his last high school wrestling match, or the last one he tried. Matt returned the kid real hard, and that kid wanted to continue, and that coach said, no, you're not continuing, stay down. And from that point on, if my guy's able to wrestle, my guy's going to wrestle. Yeah. You know, we're not that Sissonsville deal with Noah Adams. My guy's going to wrestle. And if I'm hurt that bad and not able to wrestle, I'm probably going to get in referee's position, let the whistle blow, him back off, and let the right kid win the match.
Now, I've seen over the years, I saw one particular guy win a match that ended up being a four-timer state champion. And they actually, the kid that he slammed was hurt and was trying to get back up but couldn't actually, and they actually allowed too much time. It should have been actually done, but it didn't happen that way, and he ended up being a four-time state. I'm glad it didn't in a way, but it's the kid was not faking, or he wasn't laying down. He was hurt, and he got set on his head. Well, anyway, you took the Independence. I mean, you guys started going bigger tournaments. You was taking some of your kids to the Beast of the East, the Powerade. You got to be invited to some of that. The duels, Virginia duels. You got to be invited. And for a public school team, you know, a lot of the times you go to them places, you see private schools and stuff, and, you know, they just, some of them are wrestling academies, you know. But for a public school team, you guys are getting a lot of notice. And it took a lot of raising money. To travel, you had to have a lot of support from your administration and from your parents. But you guys were not just West Virginia, but I mean, you were getting recognition in North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and all those places. And it seemed like you had it where you wanted to have it. You had your son involved, Nate. He was, I think, in the ninth grade at that time and doing quite well. But then you decided to leave. What was the deal?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess my departure, it wasn't really, I didn't like what was going on in Independence. I was totally invested, obviously, with Independence Wrestling. But the opportunity to not have to teach school, and I was going to get paid a good salary just to coach wrestling. It's sort of
appealing.
Yeah, it was appealing, you know. And through that spell, I'd mentioned Coach Roby earlier, my teammate there at Edinburgh. He was at Virginia Tech and had taken the head job at Virginia Tech, and Noah Adams and Jacob Hart and some of our tougher kids, and we had for years went down to the Virginia Tech team camp, and we was taking guys to their regional training center, the Southeast Regional Training Center. And my own son there was pretty daggone serious about it. And I thought, you know, I could get paid, you know, a salary to coach high school wrestling. And instead of driving an hour and a half to get to the regional training center, my son could jump in his truck and drive 10 minutes and be there whenever he wanted. And have total access to what now Virginia Tech is a legit, you know, top 10 in the country type of team, and are doing things right, getting great recruits. And I would say a little bit of it, you know, sort of revolved around Nate, my boy.
Did he win a couple titles at Christiansburg?
He did. He won his junior and senior year, his sophomore year. Wow. Some controversial things throughout the match, and he ended up second again his sophomore year, but he won it his last two and actually placed at Beast. Was just short of placing at Ironman. And I guess when Coach Roby finally took notice of Nate would be he placed fourth at Super 32 and mowed through some, you know, nationally ranked guys, and that sort of put him on the map as far as, you know, getting recruited potentially.
Well, I know he, I don't know whether he redshirted the first year. I know he was wrestling some open and when he went to Tech. What's he doing now? What's Nate doing now?
Right now he's in Christiansburg and he's just working. His plan was to enroll in year two and continue doing what he was. But he went into the Army Guard and his infantry training put him not getting back in time for school. And then once he got back, he actually was at Ranger School for a bit. But once he had gotten back, the Virginia Guard that he was in was going to ship to Africa. So it was like, oh, gosh, you know, I probably don't want to enroll in the spring if I'm going to be on my way to Africa. But and it turned out that they ended up not shipping him, deporting him. So he's sort of trying to figure out the plan right now.
Well, I know Sam Fisher, I think it was in the same weight class he was at Tech, and And he, my son John, had coached some up in Northern Virginia, and Fisher had wrestled for him when he was in youth mm-hmm. program, but he kind of followed him, and right. I don't know whether Fisher's still down there or not.
Yeah, Sammy's still down there. Sammy's a great dude. And him and Nate battle, you know. I don't know. I know right now Nate not be training with those guys that Sammy would win that battle. Of course, you got Hunter Boland, who's, you know, got this year, next year left if he wants it.
Well, that some of it with the pandemic and everything. I mean, you got like Corbin Myers; he's been there 6 or 7 years.
I think Corbin's in his 7th year of college right now in wrestling.
That's great, though. I mean, they beat Missouri and beat some pretty good teams. I mean, they're right up in there. And if they get Keith Lewis, is it Lewis that
McKay?
Yeah, he had some bad luck last year. They keep him healthy. But
right.
And Christiansburg, you were down there what, 3 years, 4 years?
Four. Yeah. I was there for 4 wrestling seasons.
And but there was a team, New Kent, kind of evolved out of. Around Richmond area. Then.
Right. Virginia's a lot bigger into, like, club wrestling. I mean, where we've got high school teams that'll, you know, put something together a night or two a week. They're in populated areas such the New Kent deal, the club was Predator. And Strickland wrestled some out in Iowa. That was the club coach out there. But so you've got this, a lot of people in the Richmond area. And then when you've, that they funnel those kids through the same high school.
Yeah.
You know, it makes them tough to beat.
Hard to fool with.
Yeah,
them,
of course. But, I mean, we're over there in the Christiansburg area, and we draw, our club was drawing kids from Salem, you know, Blacksburg, Radford, and the Roanoke area, of course. But it was like we was good to those kids' club, and we didn't push them, you know, to go through Christiansburg High School. If you're going to wrestle club for us, you're going to wrestle Christiansburg High School. And so that makes it a little tough on the high school end of it when you're training all the area kids and you know, only 5 out of 10 of them are going to wrestle high school for you.
You want to be your competitors. And your wife, Andrea, she was working down there, and your daughter was pretty active in gymnastics too, right?
When we went down, Allie was real into gymnastics, and she actually ended up with a hip flexor, was on the bar, the beam, and put her out of commission for probably 4 or 5 months. And then after that, she's like, "Dad, I don't know that I miss 16 hours of practice a week. You know, I'm able to stay on top of my schoolwork. I think I'd like to start playing softball again," which I'd much rather watch a softball game than a gymnastics meet.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're back home. Did you have a house at Coal City when you left?
Or? Right. Dad, and that was, shoot, man, that was the plan. I came back from college, and Dad cut me off an acre and a quarter of where I grew up there in Coal City, and I built a log home that I figured I'd grow old in, but I was smart enough to, and I told the wife, she's like, "Let's sell that thing. I don't like," you know, she's not necessarily a Coal City girl. She's more a Crab Orchard, Beckley girl. But I held on to it, and my renter, he's supposed to be out in another month or so. So we're sort of waiting him out, and then we'll jump right back in there where we was.
So you're back helping as a volunteer assistant with the high school and the middle school team, or?
Right. I actually my work schedule allows me. I mean, over the break, there's days that it was high school practice, middle school practice, youth league. I've sort of grown. Those little guys are growing on me. I went down to Greenbrier West this past Sunday to coach the youth guys because you see them in practice once or twice a week. When they go compete, they're like, well, you know, where's that?
Yeah, you gotta be.
Where's that guy at? I was actually walking through the gate. I was digging in my pocket for $5, and Jeremy Tincher, Greenbrier West coach, obviously, he looks at me and he goes, "You don't have to give me no money." He goes, what in the heck are you doing here? Because he knew we had traveled 3 hours to North Marion Saturday and wrestled North Marion, Oak Glen, and Kaiser. And I looked at Jeremy. I said, Jeremy, I've already skidded out what I'm going to tell people when I get this question. I says, a lot of people don't see the year 2028, but I do.
But well, what's next? What's in your plans? And what do you want to do?
I actually couldn't sleep the other night. It's pretty cool. When I was at Christiansburg, yeah, I loved wrestling, and I just didn't have that emotional attachment, I guess, to the kids that you end up getting when you've coached their daddy or you know their uncle or you know. So I wake up in the middle of the night and I wrestle matches I put together a spring schedule. We're going to go old school. We're going to get back on that Mawa tour that'll take us to Salisbury, Maryland a couple times. And we got Jesse Adams is planning on winning NHSCA Junior I Division, and some other boys planning on All-American Judah Price at Colton Curran. So my plan is sort of to jump back in and pick up where we left off. And
business as usual, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe even, you know, that's one thing I am very grateful that I went to Christiansburg for the little spell, because there's places where they've done things differently that might have been better, you know, and I feel like I learned a lot of things, and two, when you're getting paid that big hunk of salary, you end up working your hind end off. I rebuilt the facility there that was just crazy nice. But I guess what I'm getting at, you go at it so hard, like I'm going at it wide open here, and these guys are like, you gonna be able to keep his pace? I'm thinking in my mind, you don't know the pace that I just ran for 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm just glad to be, like I said, I'm glad to be back, and I think we got good things in the future. I mean, Coach Mark Ward there, a guy who I coach, is embedded at the middle school. He's got 16 or 18 kids, and I guess a lot of people are like, well, why'd you come back? I mean, they didn't necessarily fire me, you know. I looked at, you know, being able to be back at home and coach the kids, you know, of people whom I'd coached. And that's a big thing. I left the youth room with Levi Wood, Jeffrey Clifton, you know, Turtle Rash, and just got great support and help.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that, to yeah, and there. I think people, just the general public as a whole, they like to see teams win. I know when Independence football team was winning ball games this year and they got in the playoffs, it wasn't just Coal City and Sophia people cheering for them. I mean, everybody yeah. was rooting for them. You know, they like to see local teams do well. And I watched, I probably watched over half their games on video productions that they were putting out. Chris Gross, I think, sponsored some of it. But, I mean, people like to see winners, and but you got to work for it. Well, listen, you're not going to believe this, but we're about out of time, and I sure appreciate you coming by, and I have to get you to come back and talk a little bit more. We'll get more into the wrestling down the road if you'll come back and see us.
Right, for
glad
sure.
To have you. And those people out there, if you want to be on the program, you can contact me on Gmail, awbennett50@gmail.com, or get on Facebook and let me know, and we'll get you lined up and be glad to have you. And remember, if you ain't dead yet, you ain't done yet. Until next time, God bless you.